Kaliyam Dakecha, we're finishing the Maimar on Dveikus. Let's just go back a drop to page Kuvav Gimel, just a little Chazara. Page Kuvav. He had done that paragraph, that little piece, but let's just go over it. Page Kuvav, Siv Gimel. This applies to every aspect of Avodas Hashem, but especially when it comes to such an aspiration like Dveikus, a madrega of Dveikus that we've been learning about. Misha writes a liskas that Dveikus sarch lakachas la'atzma b'chayzik es midas ha'netza she'inyona akshonus va'azus digdusha. Anybody who wants to be zeichel l'dveikus is a type of person that tries for a bit and experiences difficulties and challenges and setbacks and doesn't have this midah of netzach with an achshonus, a stubbornness to try again, as the kedusha. This whole avoda requires a tremendous az the kedusha, which the Svar Makdoshim explained to us. And the Gemara says that at the end of time, by ikfus of the Mashiach, the time that we're in now, chutzpah, as there's going to be tremendous chutzpah. So we've learned over the years that Rav Tzadik and other tzaddikim explain that the chutzpah that we have now is not a chutzpah of a negative chutzpah, although that's also, of course, in the world, but it's a chutzpah that... Who's a mechutzav? A mechutzav is somebody who, let's say, will go over to the king and tell him what his thoughts are on how he should run the kingdom. It's a mechutzav. Somebody that doesn't know his place, it's a mechutzav. So the Rav Tzadik and others said he can say that we see that at the end of time, there's going to be this midah of chutzpah that, strictly speaking, people like ourselves and the lowly madrega that we're on at the end of time, we shouldn't bechlal have the right. We shouldn't think that we have the right to talk about midas like dveikus and bittul and all kinds of things, and to have sheifas for his karvus HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the chutzpah means that afal pichein, there's an akshonis, there's a feeling of zemagieli. It's a certain chutzpah, an azus. It takes a certain amount of, it takes a certain goal. The right word would be in English. There's no, I think that even in English they say chutzpah now. Mm-hmm. But it takes a chutzpah that when a person's, it's not his place, and it seems like this is something which is very, very, very not, something which is very, very beyond, above and beyond who he is. And afal pi chen, he says, Magili, why can't I also be part of this? Right, why can't I also come? See, if like, let's say there's a gathering of chashuvah dignitaries and big people, and then you have some little poshuta person that pushes his way in. So everybody would say, well, you're a big mechutzav, you're a mechutzav. So that's how we are at the end of time. There's a chutzpah to join in this avoda, and unless a person has this midah of netzach, he's not. And he doesn't. If a person doesn't have this az de kedusha and chutzpah, he's not going to. Right away, he's going to feel like when they tell him to leave. What does it mean when they tell you to leave? Because right away, when this guy comes into the party, you know, somebody comes over and says, who are you? What are your credentials? You don't belong over here. So if he's loyal, Yitzchak Hitaka will say, you're right, I don't know what I was thinking, and he leaves. But if he's really a mechutzav, he'll say, what do you mean? Why can't I? I'm going to stay anyway. And I'm not leaving. Or if they throw him out, he'll find another way to get back in. That's a chutzpah. Kiyesh shehig ishisa'or. Thank you. Because it happens often that a person does feel some or, some light, but that light disappears. So he's trying some of the things that we're learning, And he sees that it's something special, but then it's not working. He doesn't have any consistency. There's no hatzlacha long term. So of course the Yetzer tries to miyayish him. She chapis in yonim achayim and the kudus achayim that this is not for you. Look for some other things that you could do. This is not. You see, this is for bali madregas. This is only for certain dignitaries and big people. This is not something that's for you. You're a mechutzif. You're a person that's a baldimian, chaloimis. It's not for you. These are common diburim that people who have sheifas for hiskaris Hashem. These are diburim that these people will often hear if they talk to anybody, if they share with anybody their sheifas and their challenges and difficulties. That, well, what are you looking for such things? This is not for a person like you. You don't belong in this. Just try to do what everybody else is doing, and be misyayish like the rest of us. And don't even try. Forget about being misyayish. Misyayish means you tried and it's not working. Just don't try like the rest of us. Just settle, and that's all. And this, of course, is all coming from the Yetzer. Tzarech lo la'azav es hadveikus. Tzarech lo la'azav es hadveikus. Even if right now you don't have these hargoshes, you're not feeling this excitement, nevertheless, remain committed to the avoda, to the project. And this is b'chlal we're going to talk more about in a minute. Even when a person doesn't actively see peiros, doesn't see the results of his avoda, nevertheless, he should remain signed up, still part of that world, and to think about it and to still aspire to it. Even if you're not actively actively feeling it, you're still enlisted. Even though you're right now you're not out there, but you're enlisted. You're in that world. Don't just write yourself off and say, that's a little bit silly. This is for other people. Because Pnimi is the... Because that this Indian of Dveikis is... It's places, but Pnimi, that's really where it is. That's where it comes from. This applies even to a person who not only hasn't succeeded in sustaining this dveikus that he had started with, but he falls into averus. It's not fal la'avaynus chasushol. U'bechitzaynis hayetzah harachotav hasadam. So in chitzaynis, it would seem that he has been taken by the enemy. He's been nichshol in averus. Not just that he has a yetzah harav to do something. He's done things, and so now it becomes completely absurd that he's still for him to consider himself to be a card-carrying member of the Atma Dveikim club world, for him to continue entertaining this delusion that he still belongs, to, you know, that when he takes out his thing, he shows that he's one of the people that belongs to the Bayam Dekecha Dveikus. Bayam Dekecha Dveikus, you're nichshona in prost aveiros like other people. You're not. Halavai, you should just be shomer mitzvahs. If only you would be a shomer mitzvahs, not talking about dveikus. Not even shomer mitzvahs, because bechitzonius you were taken prisoner. The komakom bepnimius also chas hashalom la'abedes amayach. In pnimius, you can't lose your mind. You can't give up your membership. In pnimius, you can't give up your membership, and that's what happens with anybody who was ever taken a prisoner. When you study those people, if you look if you remember reading from Sharansky, Mahidika person of what he went through, the entire time that he was in jail, the Moichen, in his place of Moichen, he was a Ben Chayrin. In the place of Pnimius, he was a free person. In Chitzonius, he was a prisoner. but in Pnimei Pnimeis. Those are the people who survive. The people who begin to believe that even in Pnimei Pnimeis, that they're just that they're prisoners and they belong to the enemy. those are people who can't survive that. But the ones who, even while they're in prison, Pnimei Pnimeis, they're free, and they see themselves as bad, some being Bnei Charim. Those are people who can survive. So that's what he's saying. Also, Chas V'Shalom La'Abed Esamo. Even if a person has worked on these things, and then he finds himself back in prison with the Aveiros and so on. Also, Chas V'Shalom La'Abed Esamo. V'Lo Ya'atzar Machmezeh, and he should not stop, even while he's in jail. Even the Yetzar is mamish, making fun of him, that you're doing Aveiros, and at the same time that you're doing Aveiros, you're talking about Dveikus. It's the biggest stira to your Dveikus, is your Aveiros, and all of this avoda that you're thinking about is all another sign of what a hypocrite you are. You're just a hypocrite. That's one of the favorite words of the. Of the Yetzar. Whenever I talk all the years to Bochum, the even though in general their English is not particularly great, you know, school didn't get them too far in general along in that world of being particularly articulate. But when it comes to the word hypocrite, everybody knows. Even the guy that never passed a test in vocabulary in his life, every Bochum knows the word hypocrite. And hypocrite, what does it mean to be hypocrite? It means that even though I do Averis, I still want to daven. I'm still thinking about davening. Or I'm still thinking about, you know, trying to go to the Seder and to learn. What kind of hypocrite am I? I'm such a hypocrite. And that's how the Yetzer Hara is one of the most powerful weapons of the Yetzer Hara, is this nusach of hypocrisy. Not to allow the person to believe them. No, Bamis, he wants to be a Ben Torah. Bamis, he wants to be a Ben Aliyah. And he wants to daven, he wants to learn. And he's having a struggle. He's having a milchama. Doesn't mean that he wants to go on the other side. But if you're fighting against the enemy, and you lost some ground or you got injured, so therefore you say, no, I might as well surrender. And then you go over to the other side, and you start fighting for the other side. That's ridiculous. You can't. That's the opposite of what it means. The midah of netzach. Netzach means nitzchus. Means I'm. This is still the camp that I'm part of. I'm still enlisted, and this is not called a pakistry. It's called a milchama. It's called a war. And in a war, there are good days, there are bad days. Don't let yourself get killed, and keep on moving. That's it. But that's not. But right away, the Yetzer Hara says, "No, you're a hypocrite. You're getting up and you're saying Asher Ishver Hisecha, and you're going down and you're going to sit with the Gemara and you're going to start to learn, and you know more than anybody that this is what you think about. This is your whole history, and these are the various things you've done in your whole life. You've been doing these things. You're a hypocrite, or in Hebrew, tzavua. That's what you are. You paint it. Tzavua means painted." You paint yourself to look a certain way, and clearly you're trying to fool the world, and you're trying to fool yourself, and you're just a hypocrite. No, I'm not trying to fool anybody. I'm trying to be good, and I'm having a hard time, so leave me alone. That's all. And that's not called hypocrisy. This is not a concerted attempt to try to fool anybody, to fool the world. It's just you have good days and bad days. You're trying hard, and sometimes it doesn't go. And that's all. So that, but the HR says, nah, take off your tzitzis, don't even put on film, don't go to Minyan. Like you see nowadays with guys, Minyan, not Minyan. And, used to be, no matter what kind of affairs a person did, he came to Minyan in the morning. There's something good about it, because people are sincere, so they feel that they do an affair with it. But that sincerity is in the HR. That's not that sincerity to tell that unless you're consistent, and unless you're avera free, that you really you're really not genuine, you're really not authentic. It's our... The avod of a person is eish tamid tukad loy sichbe. Eish tamid tukad loy sichbe, that you have to keep the fire burning. You keep on lighting up the fire, and you try your best. V'yaschil tamid be'eish chadasha. To try again, a new fire. Kekuf samach dalet. Whatever bad things that we've done, it doesn't compare to what Ezra and Nehemiah found when they came to Eretz Yisrael at the time of the Bais, to build the Bais Sheni. A community of Jews that were living in Eretz Yisrael, that to a large extent were married to non-Jews, that were married to Goyim. And that were Ovdei Avodah Zarah. This was very, very common behavior for the Jews of that time. Everybody knows that that with the excavations around Yerushalayim, the old city, by the Mokum HaMikdash, there's all kinds of Avodah Zarahs, and that they're not non-Jewish Avodah Zarahs. Many of them, some of them are Jews. They're Jewish Avodah Zarahs from that time. And people, we see that Ezra Nehemiah, the whole thing to clean up Yerushalayim from the Noshim Nachris and from Avodah Zarah. She said, "Dov and Nora." It's for us. It's hard to imagine. And nevertheless, they were Chayz B'Tshuva. Veish Mafil Adam Inyanim Shalmanias and Machshaylish Nafal Beizachet. This happens very often, that a person can't move forward because of a certain avery that he did. So there are people that are in his way of becoming better, or his midas and so on. Person not to be confused or discouraged. Close your eyes, vidabik b'yeser oimik b'dveikus emes b'lihefsik. And to work even more on this avoda of the Vegas. And it doesn't mean that you're a hypocrite. It means that you're trying to get out of prison. You're trying to be good. That's all it means. Imagine a person, like the Baal Shem HaKadosh said something similar to this, but you can imagine a person is drowning in the water, and he starts waving his arms and screaming out. And someone says to him, "What's the matter? What kind of hypocrite are you? You're in the water. You're drowning in the water. I mean, that's your place. So what do you know? All of a sudden, now you're screaming you want to be out of the water." The whole thing is crazy. So he says, "I'm drowning. I need help. Can you get me out of here? I don't want to drown. When a person makes his stylus in Avodas Hashem, even the deepest Avodas Hashem, it means he's waving his arms and he's screaming that he doesn't want to drown. He's asking Hashem for help. So the answer is, you're a fish? What's the matter with you? Just stay in the water. That's where you belong. No. You feel that you're drowning, you admit that you're drowning, and you're screaming for help, and you're trying to get out. That's a simon that you're a healthy, normal person. But the HR tells this person, you belong in the water. That's where you belong. And you see that with kids in school and their class when they're not doing well. And this is the right away that this is a feeling the person has. And all these bilbulim to stop trying. And the person has to try very hard not to forget the tachlis, the goal, and why we're doing all of these things, which is kovod Hashem. V'chol minei matzavim sha'ivim ha'adam. No matter what the matzah that a person is in, whether it's going well or it's not going well at all, that all of this is just, everything is a Kadosh Baruch Hu, everything is Hashem. It's all a concealment, a kisui of Dveikus. Everything is Dveikus. Everything is Hashem is Baruch. There's all a chapter in the story of your union with Hashem. That's all it is. It's just a part of that story. It doesn't mean it's a different book. This is the story of an Ovid Hashem. That there are times that are easier and times that are harder. And that's your story. It's not a different book. L'famim yesh matzavim shel bilbul v'kayishish nir l'adam shebizman kezeh e'ev shel yes bedveikus. Sometimes there's such bilbulim and it's so hard that he just figures that at this time, let me just forget about this dveikus business, and I'll just try to be as pashut as possible. Im chas shalom nafleis in the fila, if you had in the fila. But the person has to remember, Shehudi tamid im Hashem Yisbarach. That Hashem hasn't gone anywhere, and Yehudi tamid im Hashem Yisbarach. That person, he is always with Hashem. B'chol aisa, b'chol shor, b'chol masav, whatever. Asik shemayim, atziyah shol, person is with Hashem, but in the highest place, in the lowest place. His avoda is to see where is Hashem right now in this matzav that I am in. Aye mekom kavodo. To see in this place that I'm in, to find Hashem in this matzav that I'm in. Hashem hasn't gone anywhere. So whether you've been doing great, so that's what Rabbi Nachman is talking about. So now you think you're some big knacker, you could also lose track of Hashem. I think that you don't have to work on things. You could also fall into that. Because that's a different Yetzirah. This Yetzirah comes and says to you, oh, you accomplished so much. Look how great you are. And you're such a big person. So you don't have to work on these things anymore. So that's also Ki'ilu Hashem moved away. Or you're in a low place. Atziyah Sha'ol. You feel that you're in the darkest place. See, so the Yetzirah tells you that Hashem doesn't come to such a place. And it's not true. Wherever you are, there's an Inyan of Dveikus, because Hashem is with you there. So you can be Mizdabek to Hashem in that place that you're in. Whether you're in Mitzrayim or in Yerushalayim, you're Mizdabek to Hashem. So you're talking to Hashem, B'chol Yisrael Mashal, B'chol Matzav, Tzarech Rak Liris, Eish, Eich Hashem Yisrael, B'chol Dover, B'chol Minei Afanim Ugevan. Hashem, in all different disguises, in all different ways, Hashem is there. L'hakir is Hashem, B'chol Amadregis Amatzav. To lahakir, to find Hashem b'chol hamadregis v'matzav, in all madregis, in all situations in life. Ani rishon v'ani achron. Ani rishon v'ani achron means Hashem says, I am the beginning, I am the end. Meaning I'm in the highest place and I'm in the lowest place. Ani rishon v'ani achron. Hank Alter asked my achas kireishis. I'm with you when you're at the top of your game and you're free and you're doing great things. And I'm with you when you're in jail, when you're in prison, when you're in the dungeon. I'm ani rishon v'ani achron. Right? Reishis and achris is the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shemayim and Sheol, is the heavens and hell. Nafkimin HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. See, HR says that over here you can't be Mizdabek to Hashem. V'afilo matzav chitzonius haguf ba'yofus. Let's say you're feeling exhausted, you're feeling hayofas, you're tired of this. Uma'ayefas adam. Vachitzanis machlish, you're going through things that have made you very, very exhausted. Vachitzanis machlishes on the shama pa'atzvas, and this, whatever you're going through in life, whatever it is, with a marriage or with kids or with money, whatever it might be, in bonach chaim izani, whatever it is you're going through. So you feel a heaviness and the atzvas, a marashchaira, a sadness. A depression, ba'avinus, and usually these difficult times come with a person slipping into less than perfect behavior. Ad shaniv kosh lasis as ha'avida, that you feel forget about dveikus, halavai, I should be able to just get myself up to daven, to open up a chumash or something, to look at the parsha, because you feel such a kveda, such a heaviness, and such a weakness and sadness. So chalachas b'derech avdei Hashem Yisbarach. You have to go in the way of avdei Hashem. Shein mispalim miklum, or not mispal from anything. Not mispal. she'ena mispalim klum miklum. V'af michulshes aguf achitzon, even though they're exhausted. U'bezvanim ke'ela hem dveikim b'kedushas hamachshava b'pnimis levada. Even though right now they don't have the strength to put in like a gevaldige learning and a gevaldige davening, and they don't have the matzav ruach to do with this mitzvah with dveikus or excitement. Nevertheless, in the machshava, they're still dveikim. Again, they're still enlisted in the machshava, and that's not called fooling yourself. It's called being mechazik yourself. And there's nothing that's more real than that, because Hashem is there. So even though right now, for instance, I mean, let's say a person, I'm just using a silly dugma, but let's say a person is just exhausted and upset and had a horrible day and all kinds of disappointments and chulin, and it's time to say Kriya Shema Lamita. So he normally says the whole Kriya Shema, and it's a nice avoda, but he just hadn't, and all he can come up with is just to say, you know, like the first parsha Shema. Or just say Shema Yisrael Shem Kadosh Shem Echad and Baruch Shem Kron Malchus. That's all he could come up with. So there are two ways of looking at himself as his eyes are closed. There are two ways as he drifts off into that world. There are two ways he can look at himself. One way is the usual Mahalach of the Eitz Haaretz to say, look what an Eisvarf you are. You can't even say, you don't even say Kriya Shema. And the second that you have a hard time, this is what happens to you. You fall apart. You can't take another 5 minutes to say a few more words. And that whole narrative plays itself out, and so on. And it usually continues on the next day. Or a person can have the following mahalach. That he says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem HaKadosh Hashem Echad, Baruch Hashem Kol Malchus Elohim Lavad. And in his mind, in his mind, he says something like this, Ribbono Shalom, I'm having a hard time right now, I need your help, pull me out of this. But in my head right now, I want to say the entire Kriya Shema with Kavana and with Vegas. Ani lo yachol. But in my head, I'm saying to you, and here's the whole Kriya Shema, Laila Tov. Now, you understand that many, many people, including people who have learned a lot of Torah, come and tell you that you're the biggest baldimin in the world, and that this is total shtuyot, and you're, and all the other things that I've yayish you, and that the only real Kriya Shema is when you say Kriya Shema, and there's not, you didn't say it. So what are you saying? Laila Tov. Here's a Kriya Shema for you. You didn't say it. And that's for many, many of the chevra, that's a turning point to go away. Of course, no one's saying that you could do anything you want in life and just say, in my mind, I'm doing it. And there's no exact way to explain what the gvul is between being a baldimian, between a person that's deluding himself, and being an elachiyit that's trying to be good. There's no klal in this inyan. Every person is different. But in general, the klal is that when the HR comes and tells you that you're worthless and that you can't even do this and your whole thing is nothing, that you should know that that's the Yetzirah, that's not the Yetzirah type. Any diburim of Yeyush, any dibur of Yeyush is the Yetzirah. Even if it has the best case in the world against you, and the Yetzirah tells you, you're an Eved of the Zohar, like they were at the time of the second marriage, you're an Eved of the Zohar, you're married to a Goyter, you're married to a non-Jewish woman, and you go to church with her on Sunday. And then you had this idea that the Lubavitcher guy says, you want to put on film? Right? Comes over to you, walking down the street in Manhattan. I'm sure the Chevra is still doing that. You're walking down the street in Manhattan, and some Chabatzka comes over and says, here, how about putting on film? So the thing says, yeah, I'm married to a Goyter, and I go to church with her on Sunday to make her happy. Not that I believe in that stuff. Yeah, Jew doesn't believe in that, but I go with it because it's a family thing, and we take the kids, and you have little goyim in the house, and you go with all the goyim to church, and he says the answer to the Lubavitch is no, I don't do that. And what if this guy stops and says, Afal pichein. Right now, it's not too hard for me to put on a pair of tefillin. It's not too hard for me. I haven't seen mine, you know, it's in some suitcase somewhere, or in a drawer for the last 40 years. Afal pichein. I'm a Yid, I'm a Jew. It's true, I'm married to a, and I do this, and I go there, and it's true that my children are not Jewish. Chalila. Afal pichein. I'm a Yid. And who says that the Baruch Shalom is not still there? And then I'll hear the voice of some rabbi that he remembers giving a speech that said to him that you have no chelek l'olam haba. It's the only thing he remembers for all the things that he's done. That's always the voice of the Yetzer Hara. Even if it comes with Rambams and Gemaras and all kinds of fancy things, it's always, Yeyush is always not to do something better, not to do something better and to give in to something worse. That's always, always, always the Yetzer Hara. Always. Even though he comes miadach miadesav, he comes looking dressed up like a tzaddik. He looks like a, and you're hearing some speech, and he looks like a chashav rav, a big tzaddik or a talmud chacham that's saying over some shmuz, and he's saying things about insincerity and hypocrisy, and you feel that he's talking to you, and he's describing your life, and he's saying all kinds of oinshim and punishments and klolos and curses and all kinds of avtochas that you have no chelik in olam haba, and also all these things, and it's mamish describing your life. You run away from that, you know that he's mamish the Yetzer is mislabish and this Talmud Chacham, this side, that's all. But at that moment, he's mislabish, he's enclosed in the words that are coming out from the mouth of this person. And that's it, that's all it is. And you know that the tzaddikim in the early generations, they went, the Rabbi Amelech is a famous story, and the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh himself used to go to these shuls with the Magidim. We had these Magidim that were screaming at the Jews and telling them all kinds of discouraging things and how the Rebbe of Melech would go there, make a tumult, and he would get up and start talking, and the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh would either interrupt or get up and start off saying something harsh, and the rabbis are all excited. Oh, he's going to say some good stuff, and then they'd let the rabbi have it and tell the Olam that the Baruch Shalom loves you and you're tzaddikim, and we're gonna work on this together. And then there were Redifus, and the Rebbe of Melech had to run out, and they were going to kill him. Not the Hamaynam, the rabbis were going to kill him. Those are the scariest people, not the regular Jews. So the rabbis were the scary people. The regular people, they hear it. They want to be better. The rabbis are nervous about what this might mean for the Malchus of sadness. The kingdom of sadness might be, they might be dethroned from the throne of sadness, depression, and despair. Anytime there's a dibur of depression, of despair, of giving up, it's in the Yetzer Hara. Makes no difference if it has a beard and pays and wears white socks. if it says ataloyachol, you can't, it means it's the Yetzer. And you can look at that with horns like a devil and run away. That's all it is. It's the Yetzer. It's mislabish in Levushim Yikarim. It's mislabish in all kinds of malbusha. To run away from such a thing, to the shaykhs to such a thing. That's why a person can do that, and a person should do that. That even though right now, it's so hard for me, help me. Tomorrow I'm going to try again. But right now, here's my creation. It's only in Pnimei Pnimius of who I am. I'm giving you this creation. And a person could even the Svarim say, even the Chalilav's B'Shas Avera itself, even if the time of the Avera itself is not deluding itself. Mr. Baal Shem Tov said that, you all know that in the word Chait, the Aleph is silent, right? In the word Chait, the Aleph is silent. In the word Sin, there's a silent Aleph, and Aleph is Hashem. Aluf HaShalom, Elokim, Elokus, is a silent Aleph. B'Shas HaChait, the person could also say, this is not me. This is not what I want to do. So what are you, the biggest hypocrite in the world? If you don't want to do it, don't do it. The truth is, you want to do it. Vairaya, you're doing it. So what are you saying? You don't want to do it. But Pnimi Pnimi is what I'm saying. That I don't want to do it. It's not to take your name off the list of the enlisted soldiers ever. Never to remove your name from. The list of being an Eved Hashem. That's the key. Never ever to take your name off of that, no matter what. You see, by the Bayashem, with the Gaitas and with the Avodah Zaras, And Ezra and Nehemiah came to speak to them, it resonated with them. Because they lived in that, even though they were doing these things, that they didn't see themselves as being such people. They were living in that place of wanting to change. They didn't know how. So he's married to somebody that's not Jewish. That doesn't mean that he's not Jewish. You heard his speech, and the speech they said, you're a mumul chalatar kula, and it says that you're like a goy. So he heard that. But oftentimes the way the speech came out is that you are a goy, not that you're like a goy, but that you are a goy. And it doesn't say anywhere that you're a goy. It says that you are behaving, you are like a goy. Yes, you're behaving like a goy. But that does not mean that you are a goy. But the way it gets across in this speech is, you're a goy. And if you're not Jewish, then what's the tachlis? You know? Because that's not what the Chazal say. There are certain behaviors that are not Jewish, and you have to try to get out of those. And if you act that way, then you're not acting the way that Jews should behave. That's all. Doesn't mean you're not Jewish. Like the famous Maaseh said many times over the years by the Vilna Gaon, Switzerland, that there was some kind of a maskil or a Machal Shabbos that was having a discussion with the Vilna Gaon, and this guy takes a glass of water to have a drink, and the Vilna Gaon says to him, "Oh, you didn't make a shahakel." So the guy says to the Vilna Gaon Rebbe, "A shahakel?" And he starts to say, you know, his aveiros and his shahakel. And the Vilna Gaon, in case you think this is a chassidish thing, the Vilna Gaon said to him, you're a Jew and you have to make a shahakel. You can make a shahakel. It's not hard for you to make a shahakel. but he already thought that he's not enlisted. You understand? He didn't see himself anymore as part of the chevra. So even when it comes to the simplest of avodah, which is to make a shahakel, he's not on the list and the Vilna Gaon said to him, Sayyid, you're a Jew. You remember the beautiful story I've told a number of times over the years about the Baba Rebbe Sussi Elena with the Deitcher. You remember that? That's one of the most powerful stories in all I ever heard in my life. With the Baba Rebbe. I'll just remind you of it. I'll say it b'kitzer. But the story is, you know, when the Baba Rebbe came to America, Reb Shlomo, when he came to America, so he was on the west side. When he first came, and he didn't want to be a rabbi anymore at that time. What he went through, he had it. It was only because his cousin, this Am Rebbe, was pushing him very hard, and there was a whole, some of the old chassidim, but he didn't want to, he wanted to leave it. And he had a little shtiebel, and they didn't, on the west side, and they had trouble getting a minyan. Can you imagine the Baba Rebbe had trouble getting a minyan? And it's Friday and it was getting late, and he was there with his son Rav Tolcha and some others, and they needed a minyan, and they were standing outside on the west side of Manhattan, whatever that is, in 1946 or 47. They're standing outside and they're looking for a Jewish face. And imagine it's already getting dark, and he tells his son finally. And they look at somebody, and he asks somebody, "Sayyid?" And the guy says, "No." And he answers in Yiddish, "Yeah, so what do you want from me?" He says, "We need you for a minyan." And the guy himself is a survivor. And the guy says, "No, I don't doubt it. I'm not coming." The Rebbe or his son said to him, "So what does it hurt you? We need a minyan. So I'm not asking you to just help us to make a minyan." He was a tenth. It's okay, so he said, all right, so he comes into the shul. And once he comes in, his name is Moshe, that's what's said in the story. Once he comes in, so he says, I want to down for Dom, I'm about to fill it. You've seen this kind of behavior before. I want to down for Dom, not so extreme, but to head to the armor, this is very calm. So the son, you know, the other people, they looked at the Rebbe, and the Rebbe says, "Oh, it should be covered, God." Now you can already hear, like, you know, somebody saying, "But it says in here," and the poskim say, and the Baba says, "Be covered, God." And he got something down, sit down. Fine. The rest of the chevet, the family, whatever, who's there, the people, they're not happy with this. And he starts coming every Friday night, Moshe. And he doesn't ask. Head straight for the Ahmed. Straight for the Ahmed. And the guys are not, you know, they're not happy about this. But the Baba Rebbe, with him, they're best friends. Oh, Moshe's do, Moshe! And he loves him. And this is going on for a while. And you remember what happened? All of a sudden, Moshe doesn't show up. He's gone. And it's Friday, and it's getting late, and they have a minion. But the Rebbe says to Naftolcha that we can't daven. The Baltfil is not, Moshe's not here. So they were all excited that Moshe didn't come. and they have a minion. They don't want Moshe. So the Rebbe says, we have to find Moshe. I don't want to start, we're not davening Kabbal Shabbos till you find Moshe. And it's getting dark. And you have to find. So he says to his father, he says, this isn't Baba, this is Manhattan. I'm going to go look for Moshe over here. So, and he says, no, you have to find Moshe. It's like, you can't daven. So him and somebody else, they go with the Tolcha and some other fellow, they go looking around. And there's a park over there, not far, a block or two away. And it's already Shabbos, you understand? And he's sitting there and he's smoking a cigarette. Moshe's smoking a cigarette on Shabbos. They don't say anything. He didn't see them. And they go back and they tell the Baba Rebbe that, and he said, the very reason, where's Moshe? He said, we found Moshe. And said, so why didn't you bring him? We need to daven already. It's late. Why didn't you bring him? So he said, Rebbe, Moshe's sitting over there in the park smoking a cigarette, playing chess or something. He's smoking. Is Michal Shabbos. And the Rebbe said, no, that's not true. He's not. Go tell him we're waiting for him. He's not smoking a cigarette. So he said, go. And they go, and they look, he's smoking a cigarette. So the Rebbe said to him, he's not smoking a cigarette. It's not true. What happened was that he said, go bring him and he'll daven for them. And they brought him, whatever, and he came and he davened. Years later, it was Purim or something, and the Rebbe is sitting there with all the thousands of Chassidim, the whole Chassidim became built up, and he's sitting there in Baruch Hu Chassidim, and Yid comes in with the Shein Abud and Pei, so Yid comes in, and he pushes away his way through, and he says, Rebbe, and the Rebbe looks at him for a second, and he says, Moshe, I hadn't seen him in a long time, and he pulls him over here, and he said that the Rebbe said to his son, you see, I told you that Moshe wasn't smoking a cigarette, the Deutsche was smoking the cigarette, the Nazi was smoking the cigarette, not Moshe. It wasn't Moshe who was smoking, it was the Nazi who was smoking. Hear the Moshe? It was the Nazi who was smoking the cigarette. Because the Rebbe saw that. It wasn't Moshe smoking the cigarette. It was what he went through with the Nazis. He couldn't bring himself. He didn't. This is Moshe. So Moshe's a Yid. The Nazi is smoking a cigarette. That's all. That's how Tzaddik looks. You can imagine every single, the board of rabbis would have sat by that whole thing and saying, everything that the Rebbe did here was against halacha. Everything he did here was wrong. This is not the proper behavior. You don't get a guy like this. All the things, all the right explanations. And for everything they're going to say, there's a Taz, there's Morgan Efron, there's the Mishavur, there's that. In the meantime, Moshe comes marching in 50 years later, and then he has to report that he has Jewish children and Jewish grandchildren. He started his life again. And how the tzaddikim were operating in such a way. Because the tzaddik was never, ever messiahish. Never messiahish in this person. It was never, ever messiahish. See, there was a... I'll tell you this. That I saw somebody sent me this somebody sent me this the other day. That there was a mice with Yeah, there was a in the. You remember the older have you remember? The, I don't know if they're still around, but they, we when we grew up, there was a basketball thing, the team called the Harlem Globetrotters. They were very, very talented, murdered talented basketball players, and they did all the shtick with the basketball. It was comedy basketball. I don't know if they still do that, but it was very, very popular when we were growing up. It was a huge thing, and they were funny and they were talented. And the, their coach was a guy by the name of Abe Sachs. One of the guys from Shul sent me this thing. The coach was Abe Sachs. He was a Yid, not religious at all. That was his name, Abe Sachs. And he was coaching for years. And at some point along the way, this Abe Sachs saw something, a television, something, a Fabrengen, Lubavitcher Rebbe. And he said, this is unbelievable. And he decided he's going to go see what's going on. He found out somehow when's the next Fabrengen. He went. And he became crazy with going to Fabrengens, even though he wasn't from. He started going to Fabrengens. There are films of him standing on a bench. He was always wearing a light tan suit with a tan cap and whistling during the Negunim and shaking his arms like this and whistling. It's Abe Sachs. And the guys would translate some things to him, you know, but he didn't understand anything. And the Rebbe liked him very much. The Rebbe would... You know, this guy. And he was writing letters to the Rebbe back and forth. And the Rebbe was always in touch. They were in touch. And he felt the hard times. I don't know what happened to him. Could be he got into some bad things, whatever, something. And he was no longer with the Globetrotters. And he got some job being a high school coach. So whatever happened, happened. I never read about him. I don't know. But something happened. And he became a high school coach. And then he eventually he lost that job also. So... he was very depressed. Because obviously things were bad in his life. He was very depressed. He lost everything, even that job. And he didn't know what to do. So it was a regular day. So he went to 770 to wait there when the Rebbe would come in for Mincha. And he was going to try to get a bracha from the Rebbe. So he's standing over there. And everybody there knew him, who he was. And he went with the Rebbe. He was walking. And he's nodding. The Rebbe's nodding and smiling to everybody. And then... He goes over to the Rebbe. He says, "Rebbe, they threw me out. I lost my job." And the Rebbe said to him, "Abe, Rommel, he says, you're my coach. You're my coach. You're my coach." He said that they gave him his life back. And then there he was back on the bench, screaming and hollering. And not only that, but there were a few times that he was there in the Rebbe, and the Rebbe would tell him, "Go, Abe, go talk to the guys. Give the boys. You're a coach. Give the boy some chizik. You're a coach. The eyes of a tzaddik is ridiculous. How he looked at people. He didn't look at himself that way. He looked at himself as being completely done. But he had in him enough that he said, "I'm going to go to get a bracha." That he wasn't messiah. That he had in him still, "I'm not going to give up. I'm going to go ask for a bracha." And then from that, the tzaddik of the Rebbe took him out from the Yesh, took him out from the... He didn't know how to get out, but he wasn't Misyayish. But then the tzaddik took him out from a place of Yesh and told him that, "Be'etzim, you're a coach. The fact that they fired you doesn't mean you're not a coach. You're Be'etzim, a coach. That's who you are. You're currently unemployed. But Be'etzim, that's who you are." The same thing when a Jew doesn't aveir. "You're Be'etzim, you're a Jew, no matter what you do. You're currently not acting in a Jewish way. But that doesn't mean that it changed the atzmius of who you are, the Be'etzim of who you are." The Yetzer, the biggest thing the Yetzer does is always to say that this is no longer, you're a hypocrite because you do this, but you're that. In other words, you're another person from what you're doing when you do a mitzvah. You're another person. It never tells you you're a hypocrite by doing an aveira. It's an interesting thing, think about it. It never says to you that when you do an aveira, it's so out of character, you're such a hypocrite. In other words, you're really a tzaddik. What are you doing? You're such a hypocrite. Never said such a thing. Only the other way. That when you're doing mitzvahs, then it says you're a hypocrite. It's interesting. It's one of the biggest rayas that it's all sheker. Because if hypocrite means that you have two ma'alchim, so then it should be that if you're usually doing aveira, if you're usually doing mitzvahs, and then you go to do an aveira, then somebody should come and tell you in your head that you're a hypocrite, because you're really about mitzvahs. But never does that. It's only when you're doing a mitzvah that it comes and tells you, "Oh, you're a hypocrite." It, it wants you to divide yourself into different pieces instead of saying, no, I'm a Yid, I'm a coach, this is who I am, and right now I'm behaving in a way that's not appropriate. I try to be, I need help. And then you go, not through Messiah, that's okay.